The following programming is sponsored by Talk Radio Philly. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Porta Pro Hour with Marla Vittorello. How are you, Marla?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. We've got a great show. We've got some fantastic guests.
Yes, we do.
We're going to learn a lot today. And I was doing some research last night, and I think the listeners are in for a treat. Certainly, you typically finances and, people, a lot of us are uneducated and probably make so many mistakes. I'm ecstatic to bring in to the program Rob Gill and Ed Gardner of Epic Financial Strategies. Rob, how are you, sir?
Hey, Joe, it's so nice to be on your show. Thank you so much. Happy Thankful Thursday, Marla. You know, we've had some good time. We spent some good time already with each other on my podcast and my YouTube channel. So it's an honor to be here today.
Yeah, thank you for coming down all the way fresh from North Jersey.
From North Jersey, right.
And the tables have turned.
They have.
Rob interviewed me. And I couldn't believe that anybody actually wanted to know anything about my life. Well, I mean, Rob
was
like falling asleep during an interview. No, done yet?
Right. Yeah, okay.
No, he's awesome. You have to see him on air.
Ed, how are you?
Doing great, and thank you for having us in here this morning. This is it's an honor.
It's awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome to Philly.
Are you going right into sports? Because I know it's like burning.
Well,
it's like you're dying. Eagles hat on, and he's got like a G-Men color.
Wait a second. It's hard to believe we got a couple North Jersey guys here and they're Eagles fans.
I know. They really green. Did you know that? E-A-G-L-E-S.
We have so much fun here.
I know. Look, I mean, you know.
Well, listen, it's funny because we've had, obviously, the NFL and by the way, you guys are baseball fans at all?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you a Mets fan?
No.
Okay, Yankees?
Yep.
Okay, well.
Yankees, Giants,
yes.
Mets, Jets, right?
Correct.
Is that the way it is?
Not for me.
No.
I'll tell my story when Ed's done.
Yeah.
Rob's always different. Is way more interesting.
Okay, but still. By the way, I'm a Yankees fan also. The problem with the Yankees is they have no history, you know what I mean? How many
those
World
uniforms
Series?
Are just awful.
Right. I mean, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig.
Derek Jeter. I didn't.
We can just go on for an hour. Once we get to the end of that list, we'll be going. Thanks for joining us, everybody. what's your story?
So I did notice Marla did go right to Derek Jeter, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, Jeter.
The captain.
Jeter.
So I grew up in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is right next to Jersey City, 12 miles outside of Manhattan. Older brother, big Raiders fan. So that made me a Steelers fan in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, who happens to be Bob Hurley's brother, Bob Hurley from the Great St. Anthony's, his name is Tim Hurley.
Oh.
A lot older than me.
Yeah.
He was a Braves fan, so I became a Braves fan. All like in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, as well as a Celtic fan. So unfortunately, I don't like anything New York, New Jersey when it comes to sports.
Really?
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. So it's just basically, you know, so many adults that were in my life that grown up and I just stuck with it. I am loyal to a team when they're up and down. I struggled with the Braves in the 90s when I lost all those World Series.
Must have been happy last year, though, man.
But yes, we came off the canvas and, you know, we came in, limping into the playoffs. And
I was so ecstatic for the Braves last year. Their manager, you know, he didn't make it to the major leagues until he was like 60, man.
Yeah, unbelievable story.
I mean, it just, you know, so it was a great story. I don't know how they let go of Freddie Freeman, man. I mean, I mean, that is we just played the Dodgers. My wife and I went to the game, okay? Wow. Mother of God. We couldn't get Freeman out if our life depended on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, he's a Hall of Famer. He retires today. Mm. I mean, he's just everything great about that. And he's an incredible person. I'm just glad he's in the other division. Would prefer he was, you know, in the American League, you know, but anyway.
Are you both big baseball or big Philly?
We're football.
I know you, Chief. I remember the story.
That is just like experience. I mean, I lived right around the corner from the stadium my whole life. And, you know, just, and then being a cheerleader, all that, just, it's just in me.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this, and I think I've said this. I needed that Super Bowl win.
Great win.
I needed it before I died.
Yeah.
Got it.
So
Even now we have another 50 years before we get another one, right?
At least it's
unfortunate. But
32 years. So there's 32 teams. So the law of averages, even though that does not apply, because it does matter how good your administration is. But
Tom Brady, it depends where he lands.
Yeah.
I mean, and that really is, you know.
But you guys did beat Tom Brady.
We did.
And that's some, and that was a great game. Like, I don't understand. You know, I don't know I don't know what it's like to be a Philly fan as far as, like, you know, the GM, the coach, but like he was a great coach, and, you know, the way it unfolded since then was a little bit shocking.
Very.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Unbelievable shocking. I mean, you know, so although Howie is, like, this year we drafted some defensive players, 6'6", 350-pound nose tackle, which we desperately needed, because we were, and I don't care what anybody says, we were getting beat. Of course, we need some, everybody needs edge rushers, but we were getting beat up the middle. Like, we're the only, one of the only teams, they realized we were small up front, and Fletcher Cox is getting old, and so we needed a dump truck. And we got N'Kobe Dean at middle linebacker. It's a miracle we took a linebacker and got him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, when the history, we, like, you know, with the Giants and the Eagles and Dallas Dallas, the Giants, the
Redskins.
Eagles, Redskins. You know, well, I guess the Jets. Who are they now?
Washington football team.
Yes, I apologize.
Yeah.
I didn't mean,
yeah. Oh no, no apology necessary.
Would you even dare say that in today's world?
I don't want to get like an email today about, you know, insensitive.
The point is, they're only the Redskins for, you know, 70 years, right? So,
yeah. You know, speaking of offense, I mean, I'm just going to dive right into this like little political thing. You know, and it's still bothering me. It's still bothering me.
What?
Farm and Fisherman Tavern, I am like boycotting forever. Okay. Now tell me the sense of this. We're talking about political.
That sounds like a Philly thing.
All right. No, well, it has nothing to do with sports. Okay. I just completely segued into something political, which, you know, I do sometimes. Okay. I can't help myself.
Okay.
But, you know, it's a single bathroom. Tell me what you think of this. And I actually have it on my phone. I'm going to pull up the picture in 1 second.
And I don't know the story, so tell me.
Then I got cut off last time we were on air, because it was that morning that I was there, or that day before. It was an all-gender bathroom.
Okay.
But here's the thing that made me mad about this. If you're an all-gender bathroom and you have 8 stalls, then it's all gender. Boys, girls, whatever. Like, Barclay Prime's been doing that for years. Like, just use the bathroom and come out.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, they have been. But there's no gender crap attached to it. It's just like, if you need the bathroom, just go. Like, in your house,
so it's understood.
You have an all-gender bathroom. Right.
It's,
you know,
understood.
I mean, whether you have male or female, but that's a single bathroom.
Yep.
So if you change sexuality or you had any surgeries or anything, you're still in your private space, right?
Yeah.
So on the wall, they have all-gender bathrooms. So they have a picture of a woman in a dress, a guy in a suit, and then this other person that looks like a pregnant dude. Okay, I'm not kidding you. I'm going to show it to you. It's on my phone. Literally, why do you have to do that for a private restroom? Private restroom.
Yeah.
You don't. That's all about a statement. So to me, like, if I brought my kid there, they're going to come out and be like, Mom, there was 3 people on the bathroom wall. What does this mean, all gender? Like, I don't feel like that's putting it in people's faces.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean? Because it's a private restroom. If it was like a big, I still don't agree with the 1, 2, 3. You know, male, female, and unidentified object. I don't think that that's a good thing. But it's like the sensitivity today is just, and it's like peeking its ugly head in stupid things.
Right, but, you know, I'll tell you one. I mean, on that, you know, so they have the family bathrooms, and I mean,
family bathrooms, I'm cool with. Yeah, you bring your whole damn family in the bathroom, it doesn't matter.
It's one, there's one stall or whatever. I mean, it's just one person, but here's something interesting, and we're getting along those lines. I mean, look, I believe anybody can identify, and I support anybody who, but, you know, I mean, a male playing, you know, women's college sports or high school sports.
To me
personally, I support, if you're a man and you identify as a woman, fantastic.
Yep.
But we're talking sports,
and
you know, you have, an individual, I think at one of the colleges that was ranked 300 as a man, number one, or something insane. Now, what happened? How does that work when some with scholarships and all that?
Yeah.
And I think at University of Pennsylvania, the swim team, they actually boycotted it. Yeah.
You know, then guys are going to try to, you know, if you think about it, people are crazy for money, right? And this is like going to be part of our huge topic.
WNBA,
today
they get paid, right?
Right.
I mean, you get a dude in there that's now a woman. That's,
yeah.
You know,
he's
averaging 40.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have actually more guys trying to change over for that reason if they have like a little, you know, I don't want to say a little identification.
A predisposition.
Correct. Now you're pushing things the other way. My daughter was in a track meet this past Saturday. When I tell you, because I'm like, you know, I'm the mom that tries to just like, it's going to be okay. Like, don't be that crazy person jumping off of the sideline, off of the bleachers and all that stuff. But they did a relay and there was a boy in her relay. And I'm like, oh my God. So
it's real. It's happening.
It's real, right? Yeah. So, and Valentino was kicking the crap out of this dude. But right at the end, he went right past her and he won, right? So I'm like, this really sucks, right? So the whole time, and my husband's like a lot more, you know, subdued. He's like, well, just let it go. She did great. I'm like, I'm still trying to figure out why there's a boy. There's an all-boy race and an all-girl race.
Well, here's a question for that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are. And I, you know, this is a complicated issue, incredibly complicated, because why wouldn't we, you know, in other words, why have girl sports and boy sports? Why not put them all together?
Right.
I say that because why do you have girl sports if you're going to allow boys in it, even though somebody identifies? But having said that.
Oh, here's the picture too, by the way.
Okay.
Now this is a picture, folks, of an all gender bathroom sign that has a male, a female, and then a pregnant guy, basically with a long coat on or something.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting.
Or some kind of, like to me, like that is not in our anatomy books, and I'm not disrespecting anyone who, you know, identifies and changes their sex. This has nothing to do with it.
But my question is this.
The dress looks sideways, too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
It's from the multiverse.
Right. It's definitely an issue.
It's like,
definitely an issue that is a complicated issue. People have a lot of opinions, and of course, you know, this is, you know, PC and all those things. You know,
wait, like how about this picture? You ready for this one? The new Calvin Klein ad.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, I gotta see it.
Oh, all right, God. So this is a picture.
Joe's reaction.
For the radio.
Just folk. Joe's reaction.
It's a woman.
Oh, wow. God.
Okay, if you look up the Calvin Klein ad,
dude,
it's a woman who I guess got pregnant and then changed over to a male, so it actually appears as a male who is pregnant, which, you know, is confusing to the younger generation and kids learning. And, you know,
it's definitely
like men can't have babies physiologically unless you change over, and then you have to be injected with 1,000 hormones to ever hold. You'd have to implant a uterus, not just the parts.
Yeah,
can that actually happen? Have they proven science? Okay.
No, it's never. I mean, it just, there's too many. It's just men are not made to have babies. Like,
of course,
the makeup.
Yeah.
Well, and so, if anybody in the picture.
I'm sure this is going to excite ISIS.
This is probably, my guess is that this is an actual woman who has a uterus.
She's taking hormone treatments.
And
that's why you got hair in her chest and stomach.
But here's the thing. So when you, but.
What does that do to the.
Exactly. You abort the fetus at that point, because like you can't have so much male hormone. You need progesterone and estrogen, so when you raise one, the other get out of whack. So this is like a bad thing going on here.
It's a complicated thing, and there's a lot of it's confusing, you know, even to me. But let me ask you a question. You know, your daughter's how old?
She's 9.
Okay, so
if she saw this, I don't know. That would just mess with her head.
Now I don't know, because I haven't spent a lot of time, but I, you know, in college, when somebody, you know, when a male is competing against females, an individual who was born a male is, I assume they're taking hormones or something like that. Okay, however, a child, is that child? In other words, that's a boy completely 100% physically, and where's the, like, you know, it's uncomfortable to talk about to an extent, because I'm not one that likes to sit around going, well, boys are physically superior than girls, because guess what? You know, line me up against, you know, some female you know, high school, sure, you know, track athletes, right, or even younger, and they'll tear me up, you know, and I think I'm all man, but guess what? I'm just saying.
I mean, I could be in arm wrestling, Joe. I'm just saying. I mean, we could actually have a good wager in here all this.
We don't want to embarrass me in front of the guys. but Marlo, what I'm saying is that, so it digs deep. It digs deep because there are plenty of girls and women that can beat boys straight up.
And listen, I'm all pro that. Like, I love to see some of those things. That's pretty cool. And I think that, you know, women have evolved and have been able to get jobs and attainments that before were only limited to male positions. And, you know, we have a woman vice president and that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is that you can't, you know, it has to be apples to apples on a sport and things that are like physically.
Well, the question different. Is why would you split girls and boys up if you're going to allow boys to, or boys who identify as females to compete against girls?
You could just say, I'm feeling like a girl today. Okay, line up and get in the race. Here's
a thought I'm having just watching you guys go back and forth. And by the way, just a thought, I'm going to just share it. Without even really thinking about if it's going to affect anybody the wrong way or not. But if you look at, like, you have Special Olympics, you have Olympics for people in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a lot of people that cross-gender like this, why don't they have a separate
category
for that?
Right.
I said
right.
that.
Yeah. Going to be. Yeah.
Did you say that? I missed it if you said it. I apologize.
No, I did not say it on the show, but I've been saying
it. Yeah, I mean, that's
to my wife.
To me, the most logical thing, if that's going to be the, right. if that's the trend going forward.
Right.
But I think the other piece of it, too, if you look in the big spectrum of the world, and I'm not disrespecting anybody who identifies as anything. Like, I understand, like, guys will marry guys, women will marry women. Like, you know, that's it used to be a foreign concept. Now I kind of get it. Now they're, you know, I have a friend who is in the fitness industry who married a man and now has two twin boys that he adopted.
Because he wants to raise them. He
has that family unit. And who am I to say, like, oh, there are two men raising two men? That's not their traditional family, as usually it's a mother and a father. But that's also not to say that those kids aren't getting everything that they need. They're getting love and expression in that house. There's probably more of a loving relationship between those two men than there are between, like, a mother and a father who can't stand each other and they're fighting and battling. I think the kids that are in the gay marriage relationship being raised are probably better off.
Right.
Yeah. But what here's my thing. At the end of the day, it's a small percentage of the population that identify or transgender or want to have these things that I think we should be more accepting as a society. I don't think that it should be shoved down our throats the way it is. And cultivating, it's so confusing. And now some of my, you know, background in being a nurse and just how kids develop and those minds are so fragile.
Mm, right.
And when you start indoctrinating minds and, like, kind of, you know, everybody at some point in their life questions whether or not they're gay or whether or not they're heterosexual or whether, you know, everybody questions sexuality.
How would you possibly know at age 8 years old what you identify as?
Right. And, you know, I actually think that sometimes parents are pushing their beliefs on kids, like, that, you know, oh, I don't care, or they're trying to prove something. I don't care if my son is gay and all this kind of stuff. You know, I know somebody who was painting their kid's nails at 2 years old. Well, he's a boy, and, you know, pushing the heels on him because they had gay friends and they thought it was, like, you know, all welcoming and stuff. So now this kid's, like, dressing like a girl if he tells you he wants to dress like a girl, one thing.
Yep.
Sure. But you're pushing it on him at 2 years old because you have some friends who are gay or, like, into cross dressing or whatever.
Absolutely.
That is, like, you're, you know, the same thing. Like, when you look in different countries, these kids, they put guns in their hands at 3-4 years
That's
old.
Right.
So they have this different mentality, you know, than our kids.
Yes.
You know?
Well, that's right.
I mean, American kids are screwed. Like, we baby them to death.
Well, if they invade us, these kids are in trouble. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. They're
if there's
softening
any street to
society.
Street invasion, you know, we need to start, you know, setting the record straight. And maybe the straight man needs to come out of the closet.
Yeah.
And take back a little bit of control.
Right.
Well, here's the thing.
It's an interesting concept.
The times are definitely different. And you make an interesting point. When it comes, it's a little different in regards to sports. But, you know, when you look at genders and you look at the number of people on the planet that are gay, are straight, whatever, and then transgender. I don't know what the percentage is of transgender transgenderism, and I support people who, and 100%. However, what you're saying is, okay, and it's interesting compared with your point, Rob. What you're saying basically, Marla, is why are we changing the bathrooms for such a small population of individuals? Not at the same time, Rob, if you sit there and said, listen, and I've said this 100 times, look, if I put together a transgender league or team, or you know, what's the difference whether you identify as a woman? You might run like a man.
Right, but you wouldn't even have
whatever
enough.
That means.
Yeah. Yeah, but you wouldn't even have, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong because I'm not 100% about this, but I would think if you said, I want to start a transgender baseball team or a softball team, okay?
You would have to
You would have to do like a travel where people would come from all over the place because it's not really you're not going to find that age group or those amount of kids in the same, like 14-year-olds, where you're going to find
that's the point. Right.
That many kids for a team.
So having said that, it's a complicated. I don't pretend to understand what the logic is behind allowing somebody who identifies as a female, if they're a male, to compete against physical females. I don't know what it's a complicated situation. I haven't seen any women.
That's my point. It's the male going on the female side, but I haven't seen the female, in sports specific, I'm talking about the female going on the male side.
Yeah. Right.
It's really the male. It's the male. Like,
so if that's
but
the
that's
case,
the admission. That's the admission where female aren't like going onto a football team and saying, I want
to
be a dude.
You have to make the team.
Right. Yeah. So, but that's the point that I'm saying. Like, if I wanted to be identify as a male, and I don't know, I probably can't use myself because I'm like a dude, man. I would just
definitely be one of the wide receivers on Philly, no doubt about it. Probably,
running back, wide receiver.
Yeah,
okay,
you're the fourth option.
Don't say linebacker, and I'm good.
Fourth option.
You know, is my
yeah.
The point is, you got to make the team.
The point is, right.
Somebody will do that, and God bless them. I hope they make it. But that example applies itself to, obviously, and I don't even like saying this because but obviously more men, would make women's teams than vice versa, especially at the pro level.
Right.
I mean, and that's the reason why they have professional women's teams and professional men's teams, which is physically different. And so that lends itself to asking yourself, okay, how much, what are the requirements for hormones for a man to play? Does he have to be taking hormones?
What amount? Are they checking the amount he's taking? You know, who's measuring it? Who's monitoring?
And by the way, let me just say one thing.
Body structure.
A lot of listen, we may, I don't know what we sound like on this program, but let me say this. We're average Americans.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure it out, have a conversation.
Right. Yeah, I don't think this is anything, like, I wouldn't want to tweak somebody or have somebody be upset. Like, I'm talking about
it's
this.
It's a conversation.
I'm just
people
giving,
are having it at their dinner table.
Yes.
Whether people like it or not. In the privacy of their own home, especially on the sports and gender thing.
Well, how about Disney? Disney right now is out of control. They are out of control with this stuff. So they actually even stopped addressing their audience as ladies and gentlemen. They have Minnie Mouse is now not wearing a dress anymore, and she's wearing a suit. You know, next thing, Mickey's going to be pulling up in a polka dot dress, and it's going to be confusing, and I don't like what's going on here. And so and I'm not, again, so they had it was like during one of the sports teams, I forget what I was watching, Kentucky Derby. It was Kentucky Derby. And there was a Disney Cruise commercial, and I really think it was made specifically just to pop in during the Kentucky Derby. Okay. And it was a Disney Cruise. They showed Minnie Mouse. She was wearing like a sailor suit, like no signs of like the bow. She had a hat on and all this kind of stuff. And then you saw Peter Pan flying like across the, the stage. Like, it was all of these subliminal things that were happening. And, I see the kids are all like, Mickey Mania. And I'm like, dude, like, there is such a deep message going in here, and it doesn't have to be. You could show some traditional and non-traditional, but now the traditional side is not even popping through anymore.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like you're showing 10 slides of all these, when I want to say unusual things, just because it's not something traditionally Disney has done.
I would have to think of the word, but
I got a few words, but I'm not going to say them on the air because I'll get red buttoned again.
Let's do this. You want to, we got a lot to talk about here when it comes to finances and people. Let's segue right into that, okay? We believe, let's for the record, everybody's freedom to choose, obviously, and identify as whoever you identify as, but at the same time, there are some questions in these areas, and the people are talking about them, and so are we. So, having said that, let's talk about the company, Rob. First of all, Rob Gill, President and Relationship Coordinator at Epic Financial Strategies. Tell us about Epic Financial Strategies, if you will.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Joe. and I appreciate being able to share our experience, strength, and hope. Marla, as well, you were in the office, so we had a really, really cool interview. But, you know, EPIC actually stands for Empower, Protect, Integrate, and Coordinate, because every single person who's listening or just in society as a whole, when it comes to money, it's a very, very, you know, sensitive topic, but everybody's being bombarded with information at all times, whether it's the accountant, whether it's the friend, whether it's the attorney, whether it's a TV commercial, a 30-second ad on social media. People are buying a bunch of different products from a bunch of different people based on a bunch of different opinions, and they really don't know how to coordinate their money properly. So what EPIC stands for, first and foremost, is coordination and integration. So decision-making when it comes to money is based on logic, math, and science, not emotional timidity or a gut-level hunch. So if we look right now, if you look at the market, this is the first time in a long time that we're witnessing a serious pullback, right? So, as we speak at this particular moment, the NASDAQ may be down over 25% or over 23%, which means it's in a bear market territory. We know the S&P was down 20% for about 2 minutes the other day, but that's also bear market if it stays above being down 20. The Dow, 13-14%, it's all down. Then we go to the cryptocurrencies and the Bitcoins. Those are down 40% and 60% respectively from their all-time highs.
I'm so interested in that.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin, because I keep hearing, like, very good friends of mine are keep telling me to invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid.
Well, let's play with that, because here's our philosophy.
Yeah, talk about your philosophy.
So if you diversify within and amongst all different asset classes, whether it's the stock market, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's real estate, whether it's life insurance.
Crypto.
Whether it's crypto, whether you finance your own debt. Like a bank does, whether you become your own bank, it's about you having leverage, liquidity, and control. And for the folks that have that today, as the market's declining because they did proper planning along the way, they're able to buy things on discount, including Bitcoin, including crypto. But whenever somebody wants to get into that topic, what I'm going to talk about is don't do it to sell it or trade it. Do it systematically over the long term as something just to do on a monthly, quarterly, or yearly basis.
Can you explain it like to people who have no idea? They're just hearing Bitcoin for the first time in their lives, because I only heard it about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And I know it's been around a lot longer than that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But what is it, and what's its value and benefit versus the American dollar?
And by the way, throw crypto in there. Because
because I really don't. No, there's a lot of things going on right now in this world. The only thing I know about Bitcoin is that it's not controlled by any specific bank.
Yes.
That it's something that is world, global.
It is.
Right?
I'm gonna answer the question and then lead it into Ed, where he'll get specific on breaking that down on a 500-foot level. But the point about Bitcoin and the point about crypto is that it's here to stay.
Okay.
No different than the bathrooms that we just discussed.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
No different than how the dollar changed course after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So every 75 to 100 years, when it comes to our monetary policies or what money looks like, the game changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing the change right now over the last 10 or 15 years, but now it's like right in our face.
So real quick, before you even get into this, because this is so exciting and I can't wait to hear this. I took a tour of Philadelphia yesterday with my daughter's school, and we did like a two-tier bus and blah, 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 blah. So we passed through where the United States Mint is. And what I learned yesterday is that they are no longer making pennies because it costs more to make a penny
than it's worth.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's three times as much. It takes 3 cents to make a 1 cent penny. Wow. So they stopped it. So this is, you're picking me on this question because of that.
Because what you're talking about there is inflation, right? So money's worth less, right?
Wait, we have inflation going on
right now?
Oh, we
do, yeah.
I didn't notice.
Your 100 grand in savings next year is worth about 92,000 in buying power. But go back to the Romans. Romans used to have coins. So when they needed to add more money, they would take, they'd melt the gold, make them smaller so they can make more coins. It was called coin clipping. They've been doing this for over 2,000 years. We've printed 10, you know, as you know, $10 trillion in the last, you know, 2 years based on COVID. But to get deep into the science of a Bitcoin and a crypto, what it really actually is and how people should view it from an investment perspective would be long-term purchase as part of your overall portfolio. There's people in our world that would tell people like you to take 50% of your money and put it in Bitcoin, and we would say run in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go 3, 5, maybe 6% of your overall financial mosaic and do it for the long term, that's not a bad idea.
You can't lose anything.
You only lose when you sell.
Right, that's right.
No matter what, if you bought Apple stock at 9 and sold it at 100, then you won.
Yeah.
If you bought it at 100 and sold it at 9, then you lost. So I'm talking about buying and holding part of a portfolio.
Okay. Yeah.
And then leveraging off of that and other strategies, which we can get into a little bit further. But if you want to touch on Bitcoin and crypto for the audience.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge with cryptocurrencies in general is they're so complex. And right now, it reminds me of the dot-com bubble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tech stocks back in the late 90s and into 2000, there was so many companies out there and people didn't know what to do and they were placing bets and on paper, all this money was going up and they were really rich until it crashed.
Right.
And when it crashed, what happened was there was some Amazon was in there.
Yeah.
Right. And there were companies in there that made it through to the next level. We did a video on our YouTube channel a while ago on cryptocurrencies. At the time, there was 10,000. I think the last count, there's about 12,000. So it's not just Bitcoin as this other monetary device. There's all these alternative coins. And then you get into the world of NFTs. There's a lot of technology there that I think if people get into and really start to understand the technology behind it, there's probably going to be some big winners in there.
But Ed, to Marla's point, why is Bitcoin different? What has Bitcoin eliminated?
So
people understand that difference.
Yeah, so what Bitcoin is eliminating is a centralized currency, right? This centralized government. There's going to be, you know, it gets mined, but there's a finite amount that can be created. The challenge I see is where and when do governments step in and create their own?
Right.
And people are arguing on one side saying, well, the decentralization, there's too many people on the side of Bitcoin to ever let a government take control. But the government could simply just say, look, if you want to pay tax, you need to pay taxes and you need to do it with our U.S. dollar digital currency. Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things at stake here.
Well, that's the risk, right?
Because,
you know, you could invest all this money in Bitcoin and then, you know, because I just feel like at some point the government is going to want to step in because the more people invest in Bitcoin, the less that they're going to pay attention to U.S. currency, which creates other economic issues.
Yes.
I feel like, and I'm not an expert in economics. I mean, you know, I'm just not, you know, I spend way too much money. I mean, I am so bad, you know, but anyway, what I'm saying is at that point, I would think that the United States government is going to just come in and just destroy it or ban it or... You know.
That's been my fear around it. I think the idea of getting rid of centralized banking is something that a lot of people want. Mm-hmm. And the government is definitely against that because that's how they control the currency and ultimately the population. Right?
But the one thing I wanted to say, because you mentioned diversity and diversifying, and that is it's always a good thing, obviously. But you mentioned something in your mission, which I really like. And let me read it. Our mission at Epic is to make sure you know what is possible and to help you get the financial freedom, you deserve. And I was watching one of your videos, and you talked about that being really what people want. Talk about that because it's a right on point.
Great question. So financial freedom to us, whenever we're speaking to each individual, because it's different from a farmer in Kansas versus somebody here in Philadelphia versus somebody in New Jersey, right?
Right.
that number is different, but the concept is the same. It's to be able to do what you want, when you want, with who you want, how you want.
Right.
And not have any financial or time, anything holding you back. To be able to just kind of, you're living the life that you want to live, and you're not feeling the pressure at the end of each month based on your money supply, right? So how do you position your dollars to get there? How do you create the opportunities to do that? So it's not just putting money in the market, because you'll have a fiduciary that may come on, and they'll talk about the importance of, hey, if you just invest in the S&P over the last 40 years, they'll show you a chart. It's called the greatest chart ever, that over the last 40 years, the S&P has averaged 12% a year, including if you leave the money in there where the dividends are reinvested. Mm-hmm. However, within that chart, and you're seeing it right now, the average intra-year decline, so during that year, it's average being down 14%, right? So that's where the market, the volatility comes in. So here's the point. 35 out of 41 years, from January 1st to December 31st, the market or the S&P ended higher. But behavioral financing gets in the way, and you had just mentioned something about, well, what if I sell it,
mm-hmm.
right? Whenever they show you these charts, it's assuming nobody sells anything,
right?
And they buy it forever. But when I have people call us up down and say, hey, listen, can I take all my money and go to cash because the market's down, it's because they're reacting based on what they're seeing on TV,
right?
Which sells a lot. So
yeah.
For the entrepreneur that's listening right now, as well as the person that just has all their money in a 401k, what the entrepreneur does, the structured entrepreneur that understands process, self, and influence mastery, major shout out to Sean Callagy, is that they want to be able to have their money and then finance their own business debt. Or they want to be able to get multiple uses of each and every dollar, maybe buy rental real estate and get 4 rates of return, or maybe buy other alternative investments while their money's in the market, but at the same time create these other investment opportunities, which allows them the time freedom that we're talking about.
Would you suggest that people take money out of their 401k for that? Like to actually...
No. I would never suggest that. There's folks out there, they'll say, hey, take your money out of 401k and put it into a real estate. That's only for like a real estate expert.
Okay.
Who probably wouldn't have a 401k anyway.
Yeah.
But the 401k, if it's already established, what I would do if I speak down, because everything we're talking about right now is in general terms, but we go specific. Your plan would be different than Marla's, right? So whoever we're speaking with, we get 2,000 appointments a month that come in through our company based on our social media relationships. So we make sure that each person is customized. And the person with the 401k, we may say, hey, do you go past the match? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go up to the match? Great. The money past the match, maybe you could put it somewhere else. Like, these are the different questions.
Right.
Or somebody may look at a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage, mm-hmm. right? We know a 30-year mortgage will cost a little bit less each month, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the 15 pays the house off faster. But what if you took the difference between a 15 and a 30-year, put that money somewhere else, still paid the house off in year 15, but did it in a way that was better for you, not the banks, or not the insurance companies or the financial institutions?
So what I'm hearing from you too is background money is good. And I think what happens is people aren't paying attention. It's something like a mutual fund, which I invested for the first time last year. I lost 10 grand, by the way, this past year. Thank you very much.
Did you sell it?
No.
Okay, I didn't lose anything
yet. But
so
it's,
far.
You put 100 grand in and you're down to
paper.
91. It's okay. But you don't panic because you don't do those things unless you can financially do them and understand the market and not get all crazy and whatever. But background money, it was great when I was up 10 grand.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. That's what I refer to as background money.
Yep.
That it's just hanging and accumulating and you don't realize it, but you can also lose it as quickly as you can gain it, depending on what the stock market's doing, right?
Depending on how it's invested, yes.
So here's the question, and this is a burning question. I think that a lot of people are wondering this, and when do you retire? And what is that? Is there a number? Forget about properties and assets, right? Just forget about all that. I'm talking about liquid cash. Is there a number that people can safely retire with all of those unknowns? We had COVID. You don't know if you're going to live the next 30 years. So retiring at 55 is not realistic anymore.
Mm.
What number do you suggest people that they have or assets combined, make it twofold, one's cash, one's assets, or both combined, before they retire? What's safe?
That's a beautiful question. Thank you, general you know, once again, we're talking about different people that live in different parts in different places based on different, you know, financial desires.
Right?
Yeah. So, but if you look at like the College of Financial Planning, and if somebody has, let's say, $1 million in retirement, mm-hmm. I'll just use that number.
Mm-hmm.
The rule of thumb is a 4% rule, which means, you know, if you don't want to invade the million, mm-hmm. put it into a bucket that's going to give you 4% or $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
With inflation going the way it is, $40,000 a year after taxes is like $30,000, right? Maybe $35,000.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, $3,000, $2,500 a month, not including Social Security. So I think what I would say is retirement isn't a real thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think the average man, the day he stops working, is literally dead 5 years later.
Yeah.
If you look at the statistics.
Yeah.
Right? So you
totally bizarre that people get sick after they retire. So
because
they have
no purpose.
Yeah, they have no purpose.
There's no outcome.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
So now if you maybe leave one job mm-hmm. to go start another job,
mm-hmm.
because folks in their 60s and 70s are like now in their 50s and 60s because we're living longer.
Yeah.
Right? So my suggestion, based on especially the world we live in, internet, radio, all this other, there's always something that somebody could pick up when they go from one job to another.
Right.
Right? Because if folks are relying on Social Security, or if they're relying on their 401k, unless they annuitize it where you get the guaranteed income,
mm-hmm.
that 401k is still going to be invested in the market.
Right. Right, which is a risk.
Yeah, so at 65, hopefully their fiduciary's got them in the safest stuff it is, which means the rate of return is going to be low, which means if I'm living on the 4% rule and inflation's at 8% and I didn't get taxed on that money yet and the fees didn't come out by the advisor, I am literally losing 7, 8, 9, 10% without any risk.
What are the biggest mistakes people make?
The biggest mistakes that people make, they're not financially educated. Now, that doesn't mean they have to go to college, right? But what we stand for is to make sure, if I'm going to sit down with you, Joe, or you, Marla, mm-hmm. I want to make sure your accountant, your fiduciary, your insurance are on the same page for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure whoever's financially in your world, they're held accountable. You know, we have the Epic Wealth Builder, which, it's like we create your own personal financial website. All your financial data is on one page.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
And that's the way it's like, hey, what does your accountant suggest? Let's all communicate through there. Same thing with, you know, if you have a fiduciary, the guy or gal that manages your money,
mm-hmm.
what does that look like? And if all those people are on the same page for your benefit, because remember, they don't pay you. You pay them. They mm-hmm. charge you fees, right?
Yeah.
They work for you, right? They may act like you work for them, but the truth is they work for you and they better respect mm-hmm. and show you that. And if they can't, then find somebody that will, right? Because there is people that will. But with that being said, if it's structured, you don't make what we call emotional mistakes. Emotional mistakes kick in when the market's down like it is right now.
Yeah.
If you have an economic philosophy, if you have a game plan and you know it's for the long term, and this is your game plan and this is what you want it to be, when economic winter comes like it's happening right now,
right,
you don't derail, right? And you also have more liquid money to take advantage of things that are on sale.
Right.
What is a relationship coordinator?
So let's say
counseling.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's very simple.
It's a term that we created.
Yeah. Right. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Financial marriage counseling.
Yeah, I like that. I'm a financial marriage counselor.
Did you ever hear of my proposition that I think that should go in?
Are we actually saying?
I can't wait.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
I didn't hear it. I want to hear what this is, please.
So I think, and my husband's probably listening, like, what the hell is she talking about? This is like awful. But I really believe that there should be a 7-year marriage lease.
Oh yeah,
ooh,
that's right.
With a renewal,
wow.
Because too many people are tied to their seat financially. Mm. All that, you know, the slang and that slogan that says "cheaper to keeper"
we've talked about this,
and I really believe in this because.
Can we play this both ways? So let's say if the, you know, a guy and a gal get married, mm-hmm. right? And then during that first 7 years.
Is it a guy and a gal?
Well, I have to say that.
What's going on?
Did we not have this whole gender discussion?
The way this show started?
Whoever gets married, right?
Right.
7 years later, let's say, you know, the business has exploded and maybe it's because of the wife or maybe it's because of the husband or the, whatever the case may be. Can the husband go back? And I'm going to use the husband scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can he go back to his wife and say, okay, can we do a prenup now going forward? Is that part of the 7-year lease?
So I think I think every specific case is a little different. But
yep.
I think after 7 years, you evaluate it. Because whatever money that's made together in 7 years, you guys could split that up and renew your lease. or you can say, all right, from here on in, whatever I make is mine. So it just gives
and
you
an
option.
And this eliminates the lawyers.
Yeah, and oh my God, the lawyers are going to all kill me. But, listen, at the end of the day, I think it should be evaluated after 7 years. And the point that I'm making is people get married for 50 years, and I'll use the woman being in an inferior position if you're married for 50 years. Yeah. A lot of times they didn't go on for their education and this, that, and the other.
Domestic engineers.
Yeah. And it creates problems. I just,
It's interesting. The reason they wouldn't do that, and it's interesting, obviously, because of the family unit and the kids, right?
Right.
I mean, business-wise, it's an interesting concept.
Of course.
But you got, I joke around with my nephews, my sons, my brother's sons, right? One of them, so it's his second marriage. He's got a daughter and grandkids from his first marriage, but he's got two kids. They're 13. One's 13 and the other one's 8. And I told him, I said, listen, fellas, together, you're 21 years old. In our family, you're about a week away from having to go out there and fend for yourself, right? it's about to, so that we can have our turn, right? They just walk away. They're not real worried about it, but the kids are.
It's an interesting concept. Selfish, or I'm not saying that at all. I mean,
so we keep people on their toes. And
well, I think even just for the relationship part of it, I mean, forget about the financial piece of it. I think after 7 years, you marry somebody and then they get comfortable and they gain 100 pounds and they, or let's say the wife is more of the breadwinner.
That may have been
my
wife's argument against me because, once we started merging ecosystems and going from 8 to 2,000 appointments, I went from 210 to 270 real quick. So now I'm trying to make my way back down.
Right.
It's a compliment.
How many years have you been married?
'04. Yeah. 19. I had to think about that.
So you got 2 years left on
a
third lease.
Guy. You're supposed to know this.
I got married in 04.
And your wife's listening right now. So
mine was 85. You were 2006?
2006, yeah.
1985. Yeah.
Wow. You got married in 85?
85.
Wow, look at you.
You're that old?
Yeah.
No way.
I was 20 when we realized we were getting married.
That's awesome.
It was 20.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, well.
You're lucky to have her.
You're talking about this. We're getting into so many things, but your financial life.
Well, you said relationship coordinator. That's
right.
Where we led to the 7-year release, which really, just so you know, a financial coordinator, is that what it says, a financial?
Relationship.
Right.
President coordinator.
And relationship coordinator.
So that would be my responsibility to either bring a team in for you on all the things I just, attorney, accountant, fiduciary, or your current team be able to bring them together to see the willingness.
It's like a holistic approach. You're looking at somebody's.
You have to.
You know what?
Yeah,
if you really want to help them.
But it's interesting. That's a really. How long has the company been around?
Well, we've been we in 16 is when we became Epic Financial Strategies, but before that it was probably since about 05, 06 where it was Gill Financial Group.
And it's interesting because you're taking that. Approach from 1,000 feet. You're looking down. You're looking at the future. You're looking at the entire process.
Like a core offense or defense coordinator.
Right. Yeah. And I just find it incredibly interesting.
I have a question though.
Hit me.
I have a question. So you had mentioned earlier that financial is very private for some people. It's a sensitive topic. It's people do get weird around money.
Yeah.
Right.
People get funny with money. Jack Halley said that.
Funny with money. They do. And you could see it. It's funny. Like even just on sports teams or everybody throwing in for a shirt. And then there's always the one person, well, I don't think we need the shirts and we shouldn't get them and blah, blah, blah. And it creates this weirdness sometimes.
Well, some people make a living on disruption.
Yeah,
they want to do
right.
the opposite of everybody else.
Well, that's true, too. That's a whole nother psychological mess.
But it's interesting. I did a show a while back with Alan Dom. I don't know if you know
Alan. I know Alan, yeah.
So Alan is a city council person in City of Philadelphia, but he's a multi-millionaire. He's a big real estate guy, owns high-rise buildings and all that. And we were talking about saving, okay? And he said that, obviously that is, if he could give somebody advice at the beginning.
15 to 20% every month.
I mean, if people
it's a spiritual thing.
But most people can't do that.
They choose not to.
But some people are really living paycheck.
They probably
start at 3%, 5%, start somewhere.
Just go. So that's great advice. That's great advice. But the question I was going to actually
ask.
That's
part of your,
100%. PYF, pay yourself first. Good, sorry.
I love that. Pay yourself first. I'm going to pay myself today. I'm going to go do something fun.
No, go pay yourself.
I'm going to tell my wife that.
Go pay yourself all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
Pay yay. So the question that I wanted to ask, are people nervous or a little bit reserved to turn over all their financials? Because that's a sensitive
dynamite question.
Yeah, especially so, like people who like are friends.
And stay with me on
like,
this, Joe. Yeah. Because this is where Marla and I connected. And Marla, when I talked about my partner, Sean,
yes.
right, who owns Calgary Law Firm.
Yes.
He owns a piece of Epic.
Yes.
He created a company called Unblinded. Mm-hmm. He's deep inside the Tony Robbins world, but he's created a communication formula. I'm going to keep it simple because we don't have a lot of time. And I actually took you through this formula in our interview.
Yes.
And it's process, self, and influence mastery, mm-hmm. right? Three components on how to go from hello to yes with integrity in any kind of sales or any kind of, you know, anything that you're doing with somebody. Mm-hmm. And you and I spent an hour on it
yeah.
when I asked you all the questions I asked you and I brought you on that journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do that with clients. And when that happens, the doors open because they feel like we hear them. What they say matters, and we're listening. No different than Oprah right. Winfrey. She gave a microphone to people for 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason why she kept doing it is because she let them know that she hears them and she sees them, and what they say matters.
Right.
So
right.
what you said mattered.
Yes.
Just like when we sit down with everybody, what they say matters.
Right.
And with that, the guard goes down and they're open, because when people know that you actually care,
yeah.
there's a different level of
trust.
Yes.
Right. But I would think like some, I mean, you know, especially in Philly, you know, some people got some like side deals going on. They're not paying taxes. They're doing this. So you may not get your full picture, but, you know, I would think that some people may be embarrassed if they're making a low amount of money. Like, you know, somebody who's working, maybe making $20,000, $30,000 a year. Those people need it the most, right?
Because they need the education first.
They need education right? to understand how to increase their money.
Because they may find a side hustle.
Right.
They may realize right. they could work, if they work 9 to 5, there's jobs at night from 6 to 10.
Right. That they can do from their own house.
Yeah. So this is also a part of the education. Like, what does it look
that.
Like? Yeah. I mean, like, it's not just where you are, but where you're going to go.
And, right. And where do you see yourself?
Yeah. So we have a digital program. We have a digital course. I did it with my partner, Chris Crone. Mm-hmm. By the way, I just want to give a shout out. Myself, Chris, Sean Callaghan, and six other people, were heading over to the Ukraine on Wednesday.
Yeah, oh, wow. I know. He did. He mentioned that on the way in.
Like
I didn't know that.
That's awesome. A big thing right now. So
what are you doing now?
We're going to Poland, day one, a humanitarian effort. There's over 5 million refugees that are on you know, the Poland side.
Yeah.
And then we're crossing in by foot into the Ukraine, going to Lviv. We'll be there for 3 days.
Wow.
And we'll be, you know, handing out what they call IFAC kits, which are really trauma kits. For people that, you know, when they get injured, they're not looking for aspirin.
Right.
They're looking for trauma kits so they could keep protecting, you know, the homeland. And the desire for them to stay and live is so incredible. So when they asked me to go, you know, I'm like, hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was such an opportunity. But here's a quick...
Are you nervous?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Here's a quick message.
I'm nervous for you.
Thank you.
I mean, you know, I have so much respect for this.
Thank you.
It's incredible. You know,
venture.
Thanks.
But I'm a little nervous right now. Isn't it a little scary going over?
Hopefully this isn't my last interview.
Oh, my God. Right? God forbid. Stop. Don't even say that.
So what we're doing is, you know, we'll be gone from the 1st and we're coming back the 7th. But I'm big into goal writing. I write goals. And then visualize goals. But you got to be careful when you do goals, and you got to be intentional, because, you know, I remember I was like, yeah, you know, I can't wait to do a fly in a private jet. Like, that's going to be great when I go on a speaking commitment, right? Well, I'm flying on a private jet to go to Ukraine to speak in front of refugees, right?
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
So, like, you know, it's always important to understand, you know, your blueprint life condition.
I love this. This is cool.
It is, and I mean, I commend you for that.
And listen, can you tell us what your social media is, too, so that people can follow? I'm sure you're going to be posting.
Yeah, if you would.
Yeah, so we have Rob Gill Official on Instagram. We have Epic Financial Strategies on YouTube. Tons of video content on different strategies. TikTok, Rob Gill Official on TikTok.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, I'll send you everything.
One of the things I want to do, because we only have, how much time do we have left?
6 minutes.
Oh, what do we got? 3 minutes. Rob, real quick. Lay out real quick, just even if you have to line item, the services you guys provide and what people can expect.
Beautiful.
And how to get in touch with you.
Yep. So we are a one-stop shop financial planning wellness center for individuals, business, you know, business owners, corporate executives, and family-oriented people. We have no minimums. Like, trust me, my biggest clients are worth more than 10 figures. But we have no minimums. There's 30 of us that work there. If people really want to get educated, that's our number one goal, responsibility, and desire to serve and contribute. From there, we build out plans. We create their own personal financial websites, create strategies based on their goals and objectives, or whoever's listening, not ours. not cookie cutter, and is specifically designed for the benefit of the person that we're dealing with. You know, we're at epicfinancialstrategies.com, right?
Yes.
Epicfinancialstrategies.com. And, you know, on social media, we have different platforms on different, you know, under different names, whether it's Epic or Rob Gill.
And it's interesting because financial freedom is you know, one of the ultimate goal, right?
Yes, no doubt about it. Because at the end of the day, if you want to create generational wealth, put money back in your pocket where it belongs, live the life that you deserve and be able to pass it on properly, that's what we stand for.
Yeah.
I mean, your model is certainly so many people need this education. We don't, I talked about having in high school be really nice to have, you
there's
know,
no
home
education.
Economic.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
And how to balance a checkbook.
Terrible.
Can somebody, I mean, back in the day, I didn't know how to do it.
And to prioritize and to save and to plan for the future. It's an education, unfortunately, a lot of us don't get at the beginning, and therefore you're always behind eight ball. Well,
you should
Rob,
do classes. You guys should come to Philly and do some classes. We could probably
we would do
that
whatever
up.
You want us to do.
Absolutely.
Right.
Open
I like
anything.
That. We should do something.
Darn yes. Right. There's so much to learn. Rob Gill.
Eddie Gardner.
Ed Gardner. It's been a pleasure having you in Philly. Epic Financial Strategies, Marla, fantastic company.
How cool was this? This is a fast hour.
And they should check out the podcast you and I did.
Yeah.
It's on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was
That's
a great
right.
interview with Marla, who crushed it. You know, we went deep.
Thank
we
you.
Went for an hour. We talked about your whole journey, which was incredible.
That was it was really cool.
Right.
It was awesome.
And
that
I can see that
experience.
this is a holistic part of it, what should be a part of your life on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
It's probably a big part. And I'll tell you, we talked about a lot of things. But your married life and all the stress that wouldn't be there, because I don't think there's much worse. That there obviously
money stress,
you know, money stress
horrible.
Can be.
And COVID really shook the earth.
Oh my God!
Financial,
no question about it. So we want to obviously thank Synergy Pharmacy for sponsoring the broadcast. Obviously, you know, for making it all happen. Marla, great show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys taking that trip all the way from North Jersey to educate our folks listening. I am going to take you up on this. We're going to have to do a class.
Okay.
Because I bet you I could probably fill the room with, like, you know, at least 15 people.
Let's do it.
Who
Let's
really
it.
Are in that same boat.
Let's
and we all think we know how to manage money. And we don't even know what opportunities are there.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. All right, I want to thank everybody tuning in to the Pro to Pro Hour with Marla Vitterola. I want to thank Rob Gill and Ed Gardner, Epic Financial Strategies, and, of course, Synergy Pharmacy for making it happen.
And happy Memorial Day.
And happy Memorial Day.
Yes.
Obviously, thoughts and prayers for all who gave all, those who gave all.
That's
why
right.
we're Americans, and we really, to say we appreciate it is an understatement.
That's why we're here.
We want to thank TJ in the office.
Thanks,
there,
TJ.
Producing everything. And on behalf of everybody here, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you.